stone. You have to learn how to scrape the skin. After you scrape it, you hang it up overnight in where it's hot. And you run your fingernail on it like this, and you hear it crack up. And it's red to a stack tanning. Then you sit down on the floor, start putting this part of the brain in broth. It's meat.
Brain?
Meat broth, yeah.
What's in the brain?
And then you work that in. And when you get it really wet, you fold it up really tight and let it lay for the night. Next day you start rubbing it and scraping it out. When that's done, well, you start cutting out stuff.
Well, what kind of things do you make?
This will be
what
the tape on sewing.
First, I started out on caribou socks.
Yep. After you scrape them, you hang it up overnight.
How do you know what size to cut when you're going to make boots?
Just look at a person's foot. You've got to make it about an inch longer than your foot size. And sit just right. Caribou socks, some of them want them tight around their feet. You want them floppy, especially the hunters.
Now, do you make the hard sole or the soft sole?
Soft sole. I never did the hard sole. We live up in the mountains. We don't have anything to see in the sea for, I don't know how. I've tried, but my teeth were crooked.
Tissue, the Ugric bottoms, those are the ones that they make at Barrow?
They make them all over along the coast.
Uh-huh.
Not Barrow alone, all over the, down that way. Down that way, the best up there, they're too high. They make them too high. They don't look good.
They're hard to walk in, too, aren't
they?
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
But you make the soft, what kind of soles do you make for your muckluck?
We use mostly bull skin for bottom.
What the?
Bull skin, terrible bull skin for bottom.
They're soft then and good in the interior.
It's thicker skin. We use them for soles. And then we get moose skin later. We use moose skin mostly.
For the soles?
Mm-hmm.
And then how about the upper part?
Caribou legs.
Caribou legs?
Uh-huh. Caribou legs. Like little heads and big long ones.
Uh-huh.
I have my mother's shoulder.
And then you have little felt things at the top.
Yeah. We use the flag here, for that, you know, that real thin flag. We used to use that before we got the flag, I mean the felt. My mother put it on. That's what they use. Soft part. For the top. Didn't have no felt. Later years, we did have good felt. Nowadays you could see right through it. Yeah, tough felt.
Tissue, I was going to ask you, your mother taught you to sew?
Yes, my mother taught me to sew.
And where did she learn?
She picked it up, I guess, when she was growing up. Then they start sewing, right? They get stuck, they ask somebody.
But the old-time Eskimos always taught the girls to sew. Uh-huh. Every girl was taught to sew.
You start picking it up yourself, too.
Uh-huh.
You watch them little. We take and measure it like that and then cut.
What did you cut with?
Ulu.
What's an ulu?
Eskimo knife. Eskimo ulu. You have to crease it first and then cut on that crease. You measure it. Cut around.
Who made the ulu?
The menfolks make ulu. And although my aunt make ulu. I've got one home that she made.
What my did they, she good. Make it out of?
She made it, huh?
What did she make it from?
She made it from saff. Piece of saff. Steel. Good steel. If you find good steel in your saw, that's what they chop up to make ulu.
I wonder what they cut it with.
I don't know how they do it. I've never seen one of them.
And the handle?
The handle is made out of bone.
Of bone.
Cheap bone is mostly thin, with cheap horn. Mine got cheap horn on it.
Tisha, now what about thread?
Sinew. You get the sinew from the back of the caribou. You pull that out before you start chopping it up. And then you take the excess blood out of it. It has bloody. Get that out and then scrape it real good, real thin on some, smooth surface and lay it out and then let it dry. Then you split it. You make any thickness, thin one or if one thick. The bottom, you make it kind of thick. Hold better.
In the olden days, though, before they had steel needles, what kind of needles were you?
Bone.
Bone needles?
Mm-hmm.
How did they make those bone needles?
I don't know.
Why?
My mother was born. And they used little piece of tough hide for thimble. I've got my thimble needle. Maybe it's around 1912. My thimble. My mother's sick. Brought to my aunt first and got too small. Gave it to my mother. Got too small for her. Gave it to me. Now I can hardly hang on to it. So my fingers are small anyway. But not heavy.
I wonder where they got, where it came from in the first place. I wonder where it came from.
It came from Mrs. Howard.
A missionary?
Huh?
A missionary?
No, she had a store that had cloth, not much cloth, more like them long dresses, really long dresses. And my mother had the money, but she went to get dress and she said, no, you can't buy it. They, one fox skin, one dress. So Daddy was out hunting, and when he got back, he had to set trap for my mother. And next morning, she got a red fox. But the ladies were picking them dresses over, other ladies. And she was trying to dry it so fast, she put it up in the heat. When she went to turn it, the hair all fell out. There goes her dress. He went, he set two more traps, and he got two fox. And so he fixed them up, dried them up and fixed them up for her so she could, was able to get two dresses instead of one.
Oh, for goodness sake. They didn't have money to work with.
She had money,
uh-huh.
But the lady, Mrs. Howard said, no, you have one fox skin. She don't want money, she wants fox skin.
How much was a fox skin worth in that?
She doesn't know.
Where was this store?
At Colford.
At Colford.
Mm-hmm.
There must have been lots of foxes around.
Yeah. Everybody, finally, they she got her two dresses, but they were all picked over by the other women that knew how to trap. And she had to wait for Daddy to set her trap. I'd gone and set one myself to see him if I had.
What kind of dresses did they wear? Were they cotton or?
It was cotton. It's right tight to here and sleeves to there and that for your feet. I've got pictures of mother in it.
What did they wear? What kind of clothes did they wear before the white men, white people came?
They were, Peppy.
And do they have underclothes under them?
No.
Nothing?
They have fawn skin next to their body.
Fawn skin?
Uh-huh. Yeah. And then the heavy one on top, double.
I see. Mm.
They can sit out on the snowbank.
Be warm.
Mm-hmm.
Tissue, tell us about how they decorate and make fancy work.
Fancy work. Oh, they make fancy designs out of white sheepskin. You know, sheepskin. You know, really thin. Summertime. And carefully, before they get long hair, they use that and make fancy things with. And some take salmon skin, they skin it out and get the scale off. And then they dye it with like blueberries or something like that. And they use that for boots, one long hair, the fancy boots. And they have too much to work with.
No, but how would they make the designs? Where would they get the ideas for the designs?
I don't know. That I don't know.
Everybody develop their own?
Their own design, yeah. Make their own design. Some are really funny.
What kind of dyes did they use?
Berries.
Just berries?
Not two, I think. Berries, black stuff.
Uh-huh.
But like the Wolverine, they use others. But you go around and look for, you scrape it, see how it turns right quick. And if it's good, then you take that area, I mean that bunch there, and you scrape it off and put it on, chop it up real fine, and scrape it off the alder.
Alder?
Alderwood, red. And then you put it on your wooden ring. That makes it red.
Is it chemical action?
No, they want that red on there. Maybe we could have that too, but I don't know. But we want that red. We don't like it white. Put on there. We want it red.
You like red because red is so beautiful in the, against the white and uh-huh. and the black and white of the snow world.
Fiery red. It's sort of, you know.
Orange red.
Orange red. It's, everybody put it, always dye their green so it looked nice.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. How about blues? Did you have any blues?
Any what?
Any blue color?
No, not the name.
Uh-huh.
See it?
Uh-huh.
It's kind of, I think they dye some with berries too.
Mm-hmm.
Something, maybe ashes. I remember now that's across that. But I know they use salmon skin to use on the mukbang. Thank you.
Did the men ever do any sewing?
They know how to mend. They have a mending outfit when they go out hunting. If something burst out, they can mend it. They know that much.
Mm-hmm.
All of them know.
Mm-hmm.
Always have a little needle and thread with.
The men had their function was to hunt and fish, mainly, uh-huh. though, didn't they?
Yeah. They go out hunt. And as soon as they get caribou or moose there, the women folks go holiday. They have a holiday. They mm-hmm. kill it that time.
They didn't, what about cleaning it?
They clean it,
uh-huh.
leave it.
Uh-huh.
Lady goes next day.
But how about some of the women? Did the women ever go hunting themselves?
Some do.
Uh-huh.
Some are very good.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh.
Really. They could hunt just like the men folks,
mm-hmm.
right out there.
Mm-hmm. Did the men ever help take care of the children?
No, they got no time for that. They have to go out hunt most of the time for food. No time to, they play with them all right, but Then you just can't lay around. You have to get out and get food.
Hustle.
You can't stop. You can't go to a store and buy stuff. Nothing. You're out. That's it.
About what age would a boy be considered a full-fledged hunter?
He goes along up when he's there, a good size. Then he starts hunting too again. That's before my time. I was just born right there. When the white people were
starting to come.
So, stick though. My mother made spring corn, she said. And had no wire. Wire for snare spring corn. And it has a little knot in the top of it when it cuts and up it goes.
Well, a lot of the women, in addition to cooking and sewing and cutting up the meat and all, the women also then must have done a lot of trapping, small trapping.
No.
They didn't?
No.
No,
but
I didn't.
But you did, Tissue.
I did. It's the men folks that do the trapping. It's a custom.
But how come you did it?
I did it because I wanted to.
Well,
I just love to trap. I just love it.
Tell me about the trapping. Because the trap, from the out of the traps, you got you made extra money.
Yeah, I made good money.
Uh-huh.
I made good money.
Tell me about what you trapped and how you did it.
I set a lot of lynx snares. Some traps on the wing. I find a wolverine trap. I set wolverine trap right there. Bait.
What did you bait it with?
I have seal oil mixed up. Now it's pretty high. I guess they can smell that for a mile. When I come back, he'd be in the trap. He's the most dangerous one of all.
The wolverine.
He seems to growl when he breathes in and growl when he breathes out. He just, and just keep it up.
That you have the lynx and the wolverine. What else?
Wolf.
The wolf?
Not too much fox. I didn't go in for fox too much. I caught a pair of red fox that wouldn't come to the road. I just wanted to find out what they were, and they were just a pure old red foxes, and they only brought a couple dollars. I tried to ask them, and I got them, too.
Did you trap some for your own sewing?
No, I sell them out.
You
sell? Like wolverine and wolf that I kept for my own. I made link coat for my son. What I trapped.
How many dogs did you need on the trap?
Five.
Five dogs?
Five.
Is that a standard trapping team? Is that standard for the trap?
You could have less, but I like my five. They take a big load in. I did a big move. Wonderful.
How often did you set your trap lines?
I took it every 5 days. And then if I got something, I'd skin it out and dry it and go again. Every 5 days I'd check it out.
How long would it take you to make the rounds?
I leave about 6 o'clock in the morning and get back about 4.
So you were operating mostly by daylight?
Uh-huh. Going out dark and coming in dark.
Were you ever afraid out there all alone?
No. Not afraid at all. Mm-hmm.
But if you get hurt, nobody could they find you?
Yeah. They could come out and look for me. I got hurt.
How many miles was your trap line?
My trap line starts out about 6 miles from town. it's quick. It's, they call it Jenny Creek. It's a Hammond River. You know, it's that crap in there. It's near. Sometime I get 5 or 6 links at one time.
How about rabbits?
There's rabbits in between for the dogs. I snare rabbits too. Wherever good patch I snare.
What were you feeding the dogs?
Rabbits, goldos and tongs and link meat. They get the half a rabbit each, raw half a rabbit every morning for breakfast, and then they have cooked food brought forth. Hannah cooked food.
Boy, they ate.
They ate good. I got a lot of rabbit, and then I warm up the grease and pour it on there, and then cook it with it. It can kind of get sour really fast with the grease. Just pour it on and give it to keep a little good. You have to feed them good or you won't have good teeth.
Well, what about in the summertime? What did you feed them? The same in the summer?
Same thing, but lighter. A lot of water. Keep a lot of water. Give them a lot of water. A big pan. Put it down in there so they won't tip it over and fill it up with water. We have water all the time. I had a nice team. That team was friendly to everybody.
Mm-hmm.
The tourists come in and they play with them and take pictures and out there, and the dogs seem to like it. Except one young one, he's a little bit spooky. I always tell him not to fumble him too much, you know. He's always jerky like he's going to bite.
Do they bark a lot?
Huh?
Would they bark all the time?
No.
They weren't barking?
Uh-uh. They don't bark too much. Only you hear them howl during the day. You go out right quick and then they finish howling. Then you listen and you hear wolves howling over there. And these dogs would answer. They answer each other back and forth.
Did the wolves ever come in and kill the dogs?
No, not mine.
Did you ever have any half-wolf puppies?
I had a female and had a lot of wolf in it. She was a very good leader. She was a very fast, good leader. She got distemper and I lost it. That's the only female I ever owned. And that's the only one that had a lot of wolf. If I get a wolf in a crack, she'd get a whiff of that, she'll turn right now. She won't go after her. And I have to get a hold of her and put a chain real tight on her neck and string it through her harness here so it won't slip and drag her. Pull on her just like that.
Why is that?
Yeah, I don't know. She's definitely scared of a wild wolf.
Even though she was part wolf?
Yeah, she's me. I think about maybe not quite half wolf, but she's got quite a bit of wolf in her.
Mm-hmm.
She just bounced, you know, just bounced like that.
Was she very different from the other dogs?
Yes, she was.
Smarter?
Uh-huh. Real smart. You only go mate with one dog, not just enough. Just one dog. If I don't want any puppies, I just tie her to one side and there she stays. She won't make a trained dog come up.
Where did you get her?
I got her from an old guy that was raising puppies there. He said he can't take care of puppies, you know. It's too hard for him. No, he says I can't stay with them. I have to move way up there and I'm afraid they can't follow me up about 15 miles. So I bought them. I forgot how much I paid for them. But I wanted that little female so bad. Brother is like wolf too, but he's funny. Funny kind of a dog. I couldn't get used to him.
What was her name?
Lippy.
Lippy?
Uh-huh.
Lippy.
And if I wanted to go fast, I don't holler at her. I just tap on the sled like that with my little stick. And where'd she go?
Was she a leader?
Uh-huh. No, she was a leader. She'd be trotting along. And I hit that. She hears it in the woods. She's just on the dead run.
Well, I would think that the part wolf dogs would be much in demand as leaders then. Did everybody want dogs that had wolf in them?
I don't know. I did. And she was a beautiful woman, the most beautiful animal to be with. With me, she raised it. And I don't know how she acted. And I depend on her, too. I depended on her. And watch her. And she watches all the time with me. Beautiful dog. I hated to give up, but she had to step it.
I wonder where she got it.
I guess Bobby Jones bought it in some Fairbanks through clothing. His dog had it, and my dog. We lost three puppies. And her too. She had three puppies. And we couldn't keep them. Lost them all, her too. I kept her for a year, but I had to feed her every time she got to eat. When it gets warm, then she gets worse. She gets shaking, swaying. And my husband told me that I made the dog suffer. I had to get rid of her. Yeah, making her suffer by keeping her. I demanded they had to bury her. And they did. I didn't see anything. I didn't hear anything. They took me out this way.
Oh, that was hard.
Yeah. When I got back, the box was empty. That was terrible. I'd have kept her right up until she was old, you know. Like when we were on the lake, Florence and I, my son Benny, and we were going across, and a guy made a trail. And all of a sudden, there was her in the lead. We had six dogs that time. And I saw the water start bubbling up. It started sagging like this with the weight. Water was... And I didn't have time to holler at her. I hit that sled. And she just went. And the dogs with her. The minute she started going, the whole team goes.
And the faster you move, the safer you are.
And, we got out of that hole. Otherwise, it would have been in the water. And the lake is deep out there, too. She ran right to the shore. And I got out there and I talked, maybe talked to her dog. You know, I go for a half hour. Telling her how she saved my neck. And she seemed to like it. Had her ears down. I know she saved mine, because that cold water would have got me right now. And see the water bubbling around tonight. If it went slow,
The dogs themselves enjoyed being on the trap line and out, didn't they?
Uh-huh. Soon as you get back there, start on the dead run.
For home?
Mm-hmm. They know they're going home.
They like going out and they like coming back.
Yeah, they like coming back. They get a good feed when they get back. You can depend on that kid now. Yeah. I had sinus attack out there. And I had to go over a hill and down the hill, take them off the place. And I dread it. I got going. And after I got down on the flat, I got in the sled and held this way, you know, on my mitt.
Okay.
This little dog was given to me. Supposed to be half coyote and half dog. And he was the most gentle little dog. And I never seen him to fight or growl. And I used to take him with me, and he'd have to bag the little toboggan I made out of moose leg. And I could put 2-3 links in it. This one day he went ahead of me and he fell into a big wolf trap. And I got up to him right quick and took his hands, kind of hung him up so he won't move too much, break that leg. I had to get the lever I had for the big spring. I just press it down and put a crescent wrench and hold it, and then I take the other side. And I open it up and I got his little foot out and I let him down. And he came right up to me. I was trying to fix the trap. Came right up to me and he started licking my face. He wanted to lick my face so much.
He was saying thank you.
And his little tail was wagging. Finally, I had to move him down a ways. I wanted to set my trap. And he just wouldn't let me know. He wouldn't lick my face.
What's the difference between the coyote temperament and the dog?
He doesn't seem to growl. Nothing like that. He's timid. He's a timid little thing. It's friendly.
Now, the wolf temperament, what was that like?
She's a more one-person dog. I mean, my female was one. She has puppies. You can just keep away from her, that's all there is to it. She'll come out and bite you. I can handle a pup. I can reach in there, because I've raised her. I know her. And, but she won't allow nobody else around there. She's growling in there.
Was the coyote pretty smart?
Uh-huh. He was smart. Friendly.
Uh-huh.
I like the little dog. We'll call him Tiger.
No, Tiger.
No Tiger. Call him Tiger. He's very gentle.
What color was he?
He's black and white. Knit somewhere. I never got a picture of him or not. Remember him as black. Gray black, like. Some spots on the black, white spots. He was a cute fellow. And one morning I went out to feed him and I couldn't find his bark. And I took a big stick and looked for the bark and I finally got to the end and he stuck his nose out and it came out. Glad to come out of there. Wind was still blowing real hard. And I feed my dogs early in the morning. And then I give them supper at 4 o'clock. That's when I go in. My husband come home at 5. Then we eat right away. And then we have a whole evening. A lot of people, because we have a lot of visitors every night.
You mean townspeople, or?
Uh-huh. Just the village people.
They all did a lot of visiting around town.
A lot of visiting. They play cribbage, too.
Tisha, were there a lot of wild coyotes around that country, in the Koyukuk country, or just a few?
No, just, they show up lately, later years. I heard them yipping out there. They said they were coyotes.
Did you ever see them when you were...
No, I never seen them. Never seen them.
They stayed away from people.
Stayed away. You hear a lot of wolf howls during the day. You hear that your dog start howling, you know. They must be not too far, so you go out and listen. You hear them howl, then this wolf would howl. And they haven't got the long howl that the wolf has. These dogs, you can see, tell the difference. They haven't got that long ear.
Can you imitate it?
No. Pretty loud. I came up, I had there was a wolf pack, but there was one wolf, kind of small pack, won't come to my trail at all. It go way, way, way out. Never come to my trail. I don't know why. So I set a trap back in there. I never go, I look at it from my road, I see nothing in there. And this morning I got to it, and I saw the big willows moving like this. I know I had a wolf in it. So I tied the dogs up, and I took my 22 and went out. And I looked at the feet, how far in it was in the big trap. And it was quite a ways in there, so I came right up close to it, real close. And I wanted to see how the foxy was. It was so foxy. And as I came up, she started putting her head up, raise her hip straight up like this. And she howled. Oh, it was more deep. Make your good people all. I stood there. She's not through yet. I detect she wasn't through. And she howled again. And I'm still standing there, waiting for her to get through. And she howled the third time. Really? Then she turned and started chewing willows like that, you know. The minute she turned, I shot.
Was it hard to shoot her?
No. Had to do it quickly.
Maybe she had a mate she was calling to.
I guess so.
Very human sound.
It was really deep, right up close, you know, like you were just like from you to me. Standing that far, she couldn't reach me. She jumped at me. And she didn't try to jump at me or anything. I stood there. I could see her raising her head up like that.
But there was no answer.
No, that no, I just don't care for my cat. My hearing is not that keen. And but she just raised it up like a straight up. And she raised it up. Second time, and the third time. Really, it was very frightening. I mean, very funny feeling, rather. And I had that experience. So, I got on hollered to the road and went on with my other crap. That's when the wolf I caught. It was towards spring that I caught this wolf. I caught another one, big black one.
How much were pelts given? were you getting for the pelts at that time?
About $25 or so at that time. I didn't sell mine, I used mine. Mine to make up things, put roughs on different things. Mm-hmm. Now see how it sounds. We've got the whiting. We were up in whiting in the springtime. And everybody was feeling all right. We went to bed and I woke up in the night and I was bleeding from my nose and ears. Both my ears were running with blood. My nose. And my mother got up because the baby was sick too. My brother, my brother Bill, and he was sick too, she said, and she had him in the party. And he gave me some wet towel to get my hair, my face, change the pillowcase. And I was stone deaf for a whole month after that. And the baby was sick. And one day she came to me, I was up and around then. And I'd go out and I'd see the birds singing, but I couldn't hear robins. I thought that. I could see him singing away, you know, many miles open, I couldn't hear. And this day she came to me and she said, I want you, your little brother is not getting any better, he's getting worse. She said, for me to go up on the ladder there, next by the house, there's a swallow's nest, and she told me to get some sand and feathers with it, get in a little bag to get the stuff. Well, I went out and I climbed up and I got the stuff and I gave it to her. And she put the little one in the bedroom and you know what she did. And the next day he was really lively and he got over whatever bothered me.
I wish we had known what she did.
Yeah, I didn't go in. Mm-hmm. I was in the kitchen.
She had all kinds of old-time remedies, didn't
she? Yeah, she had that old-time, before white man time, remedies to go by.
Where had she learned all this, do you suppose?
I guess from her folks, wherever she was raised from.
Now, she had had several children, hadn't she, Tissue?
She had four of us and little Billy afterwards.
And out of those five children, only the two survived.
Two of us left, yeah.
Now, what happened to the others?
Well, it's there in the tape record, I think. She always told me I didn't cook white man food right. She always blamed herself for that.
But it was a hard life.
Yeah. I was out in a tent traveling around over the country. Food. Not really food, it's white men who want to cook meat. As soon as, right after January, they go out. They come in just before breakup. Bring all the meat in. Sell it.
They'd sell it at the gold camps?
Sell it to the store. And just bring his bean there and they sell it for him. And they give him money. They have very good life. I mean, but it's hard you always want to go with him. Mm-hmm. It'll kick cooling sometimes. Cold. She'd put up the stove and everything.
What kind of a stove were they using then?
Then? Mm-hmm. Oh, that's nice stove. Then. Mm-hmm. Years ago they used to cook around and they dig right down to the ground. Cleared all up wide. Watch which way the wind is going. So it won't blow over the moon and go through that way. And they put spruce boughs down there, and then they have a great big long campfire there. Keep warm all night. They kind of build this up. What they dig away, it's way up high. So the heat sits in there. And this part here is all warm. Now. All night with that campfire.
That would keep the tent warm then.
No, that's outdoors.
Outdoors.
Outdoors. They use big logs, you know, put keep it going all night. And green floor, get some green wood in there too.
But what if a wind was blowing and?
Yeah, they put it, they said the wind blowing this way, they put it that way, and then they sleep here, so it won't blow over them, you know.
Mm-hmm. Did they have caribou skins that they wrap themselves in?
They have caribou mattress, and they make a really soft caribou blanket, indoor blanket, and the edges is all sewed with teeth. About that wide with a fringe on it so it won't stretch out of the shape. One.
Did they cover their heads too? Because it could have been awful cold. Below zero. You wouldn't want anything. Just your nose.
I know, I'd never slept all night out there. I tried to camp out like that. My daughter and I, and the wolves were howling all night.
Gosh,
I couldn't go to sleep.
Must have been.
I just couldn't go to sleep. My feet were cold.
And chilly here and there, and a little air coming in here and there.
I tried to put my head under. I don't think I slept all night. Then I had to travel on next day. And sled. Poor dog.
Did the dogs sometimes, maybe the dogs could have helped keep them warm by nestling up around them?
No.
They didn't bring the dogs in?
They had that fur bedding. Fur bedding was warm. They traveled around that way.
Can you imagine that in the winter time?
Yeah, in the winter.
And trying to cook something?
Uh-huh.
With the wind blowing and the snow coming down?
Uh-huh.
Dark, damp. Oh. Hard, hard work.
Let's go right through it. Sometimes. My mother, somebody said what a hard life it was. You know, they have warm cabin and everything. get out and camp for a while. You know, we've had a tough life out there.
Mm-hmm.
You know all about it.
Yeah, she knew what it was to be hungry.
Yeah, she knew. The time my grandma told me to take my and my mother down to the timber to see if we could get something for them. And she, my daddy finally asked his mother, what you and Dad going to do? And she, oh, we live long enough, don't worry about us, but you saved the two girls. Grandpa never said a word. Didn't say a word.
I guess he sat right there with her.
Until they starved to death.
Uh-huh. Oh.
What a life.
So, during the night, I don't know what time during the night they left. People left half a cabin. They found 11 and my dad got them off. And they brought in a great big pack of meat. And he shot one pack coming in them. For a tent they had. And my grandma got fixing it right now. And she cooked meat. And she fed the girls first. Then she fed her husband.
Well, it sounds as if she valued the girls almost above everything.
Everything.
Why was that? Was
she
that?
She wanted two. Well, she only had one. And then she had my mother, her daughter-in-law, and everything went for them. The boys laughed off. Boys and her husband. They eat first and everything. My mother didn't like it at first. But what can she say?
Was this typical of the Eskimos as a whole? Or is it, was it just her that she valued the girls so highly?
No, they valued their girls. They valued them. Just as much as the boys.
Well, your mother, I think she valued boys more than girls.
Uh-huh.
So.
Well, there's a difference, I guess. Mm-hmm. This grandma had five boys and one girl. Maybe that's the reason she valued them.
Mm-hmm.
And I had only one. I make them understand everything. The kid, I cried for him anyway.
Mm-hmm.
I don't talk too much with the kid. What I say goes.
In the household, with the Eskimos, did the woman do most of the disciplining of the children? Or did the father and mother both?
I think they're both.
They both did.
Uh-huh. Both.
But they didn't have one tell them to do one thing and another tell them to do something else.
Uh-uh.
They worked together pretty well. Uh-huh.
Everybody worked.
They cooperative.
Yeah. Have to. Mm-hmm. Because they have no time to fool around.
And they have to help take care of one another, too. Huh? They had to help take care of one another.
Yeah. Have to take care of much time, but like me, my mother say something. Listen. I never talked back till I got older.
How many people traveled in a family group when they went traveling?
Sometimes two families.
Two families. Just small groups.
Just small groups.
Uh-huh. But they knew when to meet others, so
yeah.
They would...
Sometimes they meet them, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Oh. And they went on the same routes mainly, didn't they?
Uh-huh. And then if they had to go get shelled, that, of course, after the they had stores. Down Pope store. And they get meat along the way and walk right down to the store and sell the meat.
Get shells there.
Uh-huh. Mostly shells and teeth. Nothing for them in there, but they're not craving for white man's food.
Uh-huh. But they did like tea.
Yeah, tea. No profit.
Of course, they'd had tea from the Russians and from Siberia,
uh-huh.
hadn't they?
Uh-huh. tobacco, leaf tobacco.
Did they ever make any tea out of anything in Alaska?
Yeah, that it's a quite long leaf like that.
I thought that was used for diarrhea or something.
No, it's good if you don't drink it.
Mm-hmm.
Good fat.
For flu or cold? Or?
If you don't feel for it, but they use that.
Uh-huh.
There's something wrong with them. They go make tea out of it. It's mostly, they have tea oil, they'll give you half a cup. I know I had it.
And that gets pretty strong, doesn't it?
It is hard to swallow, I tell you.
Okay, let's see what we got. Did any of the Eskimo people feud and fight among families?
No.
They don't have time to fight. Did they ever, were there any murders committed ever that you knew of?
If they did, like I told you before, then nephews took care of that.
The what?
Nephews.
Nephews?
Mm-hmm. Like they'll do, you know, turn bad, maybe murder somebody and keep murdering. And I send my baby and my whole family, boys, get him.
Oh.
Nothing so.
They just disappear?
Mm-hmm.
That's how they took care of crime then?
Mm-hmm. Not very often though.
No. Was there any stealing that ever went on that you knew of in the early days? Any stealing in among the Eskimos? Stealing from one another?
No. Nothing there to steal.
Or maybe food? But what if somebody came along and took somebody's cash?
I just didn't stay right there with it.
Uh-huh. At least you weren't aware of any thievery.
Oh, no, my mother said they left two folks to see or a lot of fish there at their boat. That year they were starting, so they took that. Somebody was hungry and got there.
But that didn't happen very often either, did it?
No, it's just because they were starving. Everybody was starving that year. That year.
But usually they just shared with one another anyhow.
Yeah, they shared.
Mm-hmm.
Like if lady lose her husband, she's a good story. Everybody gives her some, they don't really give her skins and meat and fish and stuff. They'll help her out.
So they keep her going.
Mm-hmm. But she had kids too.
And sometimes they'd adopt her children. Did they also keep track of
their
for two or three generations back?
Brothers and sisters.
How far back?
Up, you know that he and this adopted parent always tells this adopted baby they have, if something happened to them, if they died or anything, to go back to his own feet. They never hide it.
Mm-hmm.
No. They keep telling me about everything. That little fellow knows more about his own family. Because he's told all the time.
Mm-hmm.
Never to forget his own parents and brothers and sisters. And when he grows up, he goes back and forth, and he don't stop it, and he's only people running back and forth.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Did they also keep track of, for two or three generations back,